over the last four messages on prayer. God has given me the blessing and the privilege to remember Dr. Billy Graham in a message by sharing a message that he preached many years ago on prayer. And what a joy that was. And what a joy it was for me to be invited by the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association to attend his homegoing service. And what a privilege that was. And we thank God for the privilege to remember the life of this godly man. He was not perfect. We all know that. None of us is perfect. I can tell you this, God used his life tremendously. And it is amazing what God can do with just one person if you would just yield your life to him. Amen, somebody. I can't hear you to my right. Amen, somebody. How to win at spiritual warfare through prayer, part 13. Praying through the Bible, message, believe it or not, 289. If the Lord tarries his coming and we live, next week will be 290. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. Praying always with all prayer. Are you doing that? If you are a child of God, you know deep down in your heart that you ought to be praying always with all prayer. That means praying in different ways, but praying and the supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then Paul said, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Can somebody say amen to the word of God? Holy Father God, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for the gift and the power and the person of your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who makes all of these blessings possible. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins, our failures and faults, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness through the blood of Christ, and fill us who are saved with the fullness and the power of your Holy Spirit, and grant us fresh anointing and unction not only to preach it, but to hear it and to do it. And Lord, we pray that in the end, lost souls would be saved, and Christians would be revived. We give you the glory, the praise, and honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, today, as you know, we are in a rather long but important series. Not you, just that. Over some more. We are in a rather long but important series of messages titled Praying Through the Bible, a series on every passage and verse regarding prayer in the Bible. The purpose of this series is to encourage you to pray, challenge you to pray, exhort you to pray, and yes, if you will, motivate you to pray to the God of the Bible. Not just to pray, but to pray to the God of the Bible. I don't know what you did, but I just got through praying to the God of the Bible, not for you to hear, but for God to hear. And I believe that God heard and answered my prayers, as he has thousands of prayers down through the years. We have highlighted each of these over 500 verses and passages in the Prayer Motivator Devotional Bible. And I have never sold the Bible in this message. I know some think I should. I just mention it. I don't tell you where it's at. If you want it, you can find it. And we will be adding to that. So far, we have completed 288 messages in this series on prayer. This is message number 289, titled Prayer: How to Win at Spiritual Warfare Through Prayer. You're not going to fight a great battle and win if you in your spiritual life as a Christian if you don't pray. This is message number 13. Dr. Billy Graham said, "The greatest form of praise is the sound of consecrated feet seeking out the lost and the helpless." F.B. Meyer said, "Consecration is not the act of our feelings, but of our will." Dr. Alexander McLaren said, "The root of all steadfastness is in consecration to God." Beloved, as we have considered the types of prayer that we should avail ourselves of in spiritual warfare, by the grace of God, we have discussed the prayer of faith, the prayer of agreement, the prayer of request or supplication, the prayer of intercession or praying for others, the prayer of thanksgiving, which we ought to always include in prayer, and the prayer of worship. Today, beloved, by the grace of God, we will look at another type of prayer, if you will, the prayer of consecration. Now, down through the years in many churches, so much confusion has been around this book, or rather around this word, consecration, particularly among our Pentecostal holiness brethren and sisters. According to the Baker Encyclopedia of the Bible, consecration is the separation, is very simply the separation of persons. I said the separation of persons, setting aside of individuals. For example, Paul was consecrated to preach the gospel to all, but particularly to the Gentiles. Peter was consecrated to preach the gospel to all, but particularly the Jews, even though God used him to open up the door to get the gospel to the Gentiles. He was, in other words, consecrated, set aside to preach the gospel. And so consecration is the separation of persons, utensils, the communion table, which unfortunately somebody forgot to have this past Sunday. I'm not going to say any names. Is consecrated. It should not be, you should not pull up a bench and sit down and eat some fried chicken at the communion table. Amen, somebody. It's consecrated. You're not to put any raffle tickets in the offering plate. It's consecrated, separated for God. Utensils, buildings. You ought not to use the church house for a party and debauchery. It is consecrated unto God. It is separated for the glory of God. Or places from everyday secular uses for exclusive dedication to holy or sacred use. In the Bible, consecration was effected through an appropriate rite or vow. Samson was consecrated unto God. Hebrew expressions imply separation, dedication, or ordination. God spoke to my heart, called me years before this, but God made it very clear to me while I was at BUA, Baptist University of America, many years ago, that he wanted to separate me for full-time service. Trust me, that is not was not my doing. First of all, I didn't want to be called as a preacher in the first place. In fact, the last thing on earth I wanted to do was preach the gospel or anything, simply because my dad, Daniel White Jr., whose name I carry, which I'm happy about now, I'm the third, he's junior, I despise the fact that he was a preacher, because I did not want to preach. I wanted to party. And but God called me to preach, and I remember one day in the shower, I yielded. I said, all right, then I'll preach. And then later, he wanted me, after a few years, about 4 or 5 years, he made it clear to me in no uncertain way that he wanted me to preach full time. And he basically said to me, Daniel, somebody needs to be full time for me. And I want you to be full-time. He consecrated me. It doesn't mean that I am holier than anybody else or that I'm perfect. That is not what it's about. That's not what it means. It means separated as unto God for use by God. New Testament references, the Baker Dictionary says, are fewer, but they frequently connote the idea of holiness. In church usage, especially among hierarchical denominations, the term describes solemn rites that establish a bishop or other official in his office. It is also used to describe dedication of shrines and cathedrals, elements of the Mass or communion, and lesser objects or buildings set aside for ecclesiastical functions. And so, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. E.M. Bounds said, consecration is the voluntary set dedication of oneself to God. An offering definitely made, and made without any reservation whatsoever. And trust me, when you're consecrated to God, that's not your doing, I assure you. It's not your doing, even though your will is involved. Believe me when I tell you, God is working in your heart big time. It is, he continues, the setting apart of all we are, all we have, and all we expect to have or be. To God, first of all. Almighty God is in view, and He is the end of all consecration. It is a separation of one's self to God, a devotion of all that one is and has to a sacred use. It is the voluntary putting of oneself in God's hands to be used sacredly, holily, with sanctifying ends in view, end of quote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have an example of the prayer of consecration in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ Himself. In the Garden of Gethsemane, before His crucifixion, Jesus prayed, "Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me." This was a bitter cup for the God-man, you must understand. "Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done." And by the way, that's how you need to pray. "Lord, I really don't want to be a missionary in Timbuktu, Africa, but that's not my will, but Thine will be done." Can somebody say amen? Jesus was surrendering Himself to the will of the Father, God. He was consecrating Himself, declaring Himself a vessel at God's disposal. He became a vessel for God's use, if you will, and God laid on Him our sin and His wrath. Install that to be placed on the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, that we might be saved from sin and hell. As believers who have been bought with the price of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that Jesus paid, we ought to consecrate ourselves to Him and to God's service freely, willingly, out of a sense of both love and respect. Love and respect are two powerful things, by the way. If we love and respect God, we will obey God. We have too many people raising their hands in church saying, "How much I love you, God. Oh, how much I love you." But evidently they don't respect God because they disobey God. When you respect somebody, you obey them. You do what they wish. Amen, somebody. One of the ways we demonstrate our willingness to be consecrated to God is through prayer. Because praying is, in the words of Dr. John R. Rice, simply asking and receiving. It is easy to get caught up with what we want and what we think should be done. When we pray, we ought to show a spirit of humility, a spirit of consecration, by following Jesus' example, saying, "Father, if Thou be willing, not my will, but Thine be done." Are you praying like that? It is okay, ladies and gentlemen, to express our desires to God. It's fine. Do that. He already knows. God does not mind you saying, "And I've said it often, Lord, and I don't want to do this, but let Your will be done." How many husbands with bad wives have said, "Lord, I really don't want to stay with this woman, but let Your will be done and not mine." How many pastors have had to say that? They're serving God, and yes, there are some good men serving God who have Jezebel as a wife. That's just the truth. There's no doubt about that. Nobody can deny it. And how many wives have had to say, that, "Lord, this is not my will to stay with this man, but let Your will be done. This is not what I chose for my child, but let Your will be done, Lord." This is not the job I want, but Lord, let your will be done. Amen, somebody. This is not the situation, Lord, that I would choose to be in, but let your will be done and not my will done. And so, beloved, it is okay to express our desires. There's nothing wrong with it because God already knows what's in your heart. But we always ought to open ourselves up to being used, consecrated as vessels, however God sees fit. But because we have been bought with a price by the precious blood of Christ, and therefore we are not our own. Can somebody say amen? And that is what the prayer of consecration is all about. Are you consecrated unto the Lord, dear Christian friend? Some of you, Daniel, Ezekiel, focus on Jesus. Some of you are not even saved. Some of you are not born again, and we're going to deal with that. But if you are saved, have you separated yourself as unto God, as a person to be used by God? And some are saying right now, yes, preacher, I'll die for Christ, just like Peter did. Well, first, why don't you start living for Christ? Let's do that first. Be a living sacrifice unto God. Because if you won't live for Christ, we all doubt very seriously if you would die for Christ. Can somebody say amen? So let's live for Christ. Let's pray. Everybody's standing. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to live for you. Help us to be a living sacrifice. Help us to consecrate ourselves unto you and separate ourselves for your use by the power of your grace, by the power of your Holy Spirit, for your glory, your praise, and your honor as Christians. Lord, for as one of your servants has stated, he said very clearly that if a Christian is not consecrated, I don't know what salvation means. So, Lord, every Christian ought to be consecrated. Save every lost soul among us today. Open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears, here and beyond around the world, for your glory, your praise, and honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you are with us today and you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ in the free pardon of your sins, in other words, if you were to die today, your soul would go to an eternal hell, and you would not go to an eternal heaven where God is and where Jesus Christ is. And Dr. Billy Graham went home to be with the Lord a couple of weeks ago almost. He went to heaven, not because he preached the gospel to a dying and lost world. Hundreds of times to millions of people. He didn't go to heaven because of that. He went to heaven because he trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Many people don't know this, but Billy Graham had some doubts because when he got saved and was getting saved and in during that time, in our country's history, Christians began to become liberal in their theology and started to deny the inerrancy of the Holy Word of God, started denying that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin and other such foolishness. But one night, he chucked all of that and refused to believe the lies. And he just told God, I am yours, and I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe in you, and I will walk by faith and not by sight. And you're going to have to chuck all of the lies you've heard. And you're going to have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved from hell and saved to heaven. Now, if you are with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and the free pardon of your sins, your first prayer needs to be what we call the sinner's prayer. First, please understand that you are a sinner, just as I am a sinner. That's the song that's playing right now, Just As I Am. A song that the Billy Graham ministry has made famous around the world. And that you have broken God's laws. We are sinners because we have broken God's Ten Commandments. His laws, His commandments. God made this world. God made you. Therefore, God has the right to tell you what to do and what not to do. Can somebody say amen? The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In other words, all have committed sins against what God has said. All have broken the laws of God. From Billy Graham on down, from the Pope on down, including myself and everybody else. Secondly, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty. There is a punishment for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die physically because of sin. And we die spiritually because of sin. Our body goes to the grave or to the cremation, the burning up of the body. But our soul will live forever somewhere in heaven or hell. And if we don't trust Christ in this life as Savior, it's a hard truth to hear, but it is the truth. You will spend eternity in hell according to the Word of God, the Bible. That leads me to my third point. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than most modern preachers combined. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The Bible also says in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful. Here are the folks who are going to go to hell, but the fearful. People too afraid to get saved, too afraid to believe in Christ. They're afraid of what their parents might say, what their co-workers might say, what their family members might say. And unbelieving, people who are agnostics and atheists who choose to refuse to believe in God. And the abominable, people who commit abominations, such as adultery, such as homosexuality. We all know from the Word of God that these things are abominations in God's sight. Child molesters. The man who raped a 3-year-old child on a bus in India just a couple of days ago, with a 5-year-old brother pleading that the man would leave her alone. Abominations in the sight of God. You tell me where the man is going. A man who would rape a 3-year-old child on a bus. He's not going to heaven. So you tell me where he's going. Where, you tell me where, if you were God, where would you put him? You put him in an eternal hell to suffer for that for the rest of his existence. You say, preacher, where is the mercy? Oh, the mercy is in God sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sins and for my sins. Abominations committed and murderers people who see a little child going home from school and they abduct this child and molest this child and rape this child or this woman or this man, and then they kill that person because they don't want that person to tell on them. Murderers will spend eternity in hell. You don't mind that, do you? Don't you want murderers to go to hell? You don't want them to be near you, do you? Would God be justified in making sure they go to hell if they don't trust Christ as Savior? Of course. Before you ask the stupid question of whether or not God will send people to hell, well, we send people to jail for life. We just sent one little child molester who molested all of those ballet girls tumblers, rather, with his nasty self. His name is Nasty. I call him Nasty, Mr. Nasty. I think we gave him almost 200 years. He's not going to live to see that, but that's an eternity right there. We have put some folk to death for killing their wives and killing their husbands and killing their children. We electrocuted them or did something to make sure they died. That's an eternal sentence, my friend. So don't think it's far-fetched. Well, God send people to hell. No, we send ourselves to hell with our mean and hateful, rebellious and stubborn and demonic ways. Whoremongers, next. Whoremongers include whores and whoremongers, men and women, pimps and prostitutes, and sorcerers, people who practice witchcraft and voodoo and live by the zodiac signs, people who are witches, people who kill animals and put the blood of the animals on their bodies, put unicorn heads on top of unicorn mask on top of the head and dance around like a demon. You're going to hell. You can't do that in heaven. Where are you going? You're going to a devil's hell. That's who you worship. Satanists. They are among us. And idolaters, people who worship anything or anybody besides God. We don't hear this much today, but I'm here to remind you that our God is a jealous God. Amen, somebody. And all liars, if God didn't get you on the other ones, he got you on this one. All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And this can happen to you today. If you don't trust Christ as Savior, you can drop off in hell at any time. Anytime. Hell is bad news. The lake of fire is bad news, my dear friend. But I have some good news for you. I'm not going to leave you dangling over hell. I'm going to show you how to escape hell forever. Jesus paid it all. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart, dear friend, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in him. That's all you have to do. You don't have to join a church to be saved. No, no, no. You don't have to get baptized to be saved. No, no, no. You don't have to take communion and have somebody make a cross over you. No, no, no. You don't have to do good deeds or pay the church any money. No, no, no. All you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's any mention of money whatsoever, you need to not only walk, you need to run away from such a joker who would tell you can get saved if you pay them some money or give them some money. That's a devil from hell. That's a false prophet right there. No money ought to be mentioned whatsoever. I told some folks today, if God does not lead you to give to our ministry, don't you give a dime. God is always taking care of us, and He always will. And this is what we've told people for years. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend. Believe that He died for your sins, was buried, and rose again from the dead on the third day. Millions have gotten saved this way. Ask the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Thousands upon thousands have gotten saved. You can be saved today. And you can live forever in heaven with God. It's a beautiful thing. Believe in Jesus Christ. Believe that He died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Believe on Him. Receive Him into your heart. Receive this gospel message. You say, preacher, what is the gospel message? That Jesus Christ died for the sins of all men and women, boys and girls. He was buried because He truly died, and He rose again by the power of God. Dear friend, that is the gospel, and all you have to do is believe it. And pray and ask Him to come into your heart to save your soul, and He will save you. For the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How about it, dear friend? Are you ready to believe on Christ? Today is the day, rather, of your salvation. Believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ and pray with me right now as I lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. And God will hear your prayer. His ears are always open and available to you. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have sinned against You. I have broken some of Your Ten Commandments. And I understand that if I break just one of Your laws, Your commandments, I break the whole thing according to Your word. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, my failures and my faults, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my old evil ways and to follow You in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for His sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Bible, you are now saved from sin and hell, and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God. Congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've done the most important thing in life. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Jesus Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.